Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are a privileged people, Lord, to have this opportunity to come to thy house to worship thee in spirit and in truth, knowing, Father, that many come throughout the world to worship thee in spirit, but they have denied the truth. And we know, Father, that unless we have the truth and unless we understand who it is that we are worshiping, our worship is in vain. So, Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you have come down with a shout in this hour, a message to prepare the hearts of your people. And, Lord, we just commit our service tonight in thy precious name, that name which you gave to your Son Jesus by inheritance, in which the whole family in heaven is named the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to continue in our series with spoken word, and I've subtitled this, All Scripture Must Be Fulfilled, and then subtitled, The Shout. And this evening, I would like to continue in our study of Brother Bram's sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed, picking up again at paragraph 35, and we'll begin our reading where Brother Bram says, Jesus said the Scriptures must be fulfilled. That is, that all that's written in the Scriptures, now bear this in mind, because you who are getting the tape now, at the end of these tapes, you'll find out that I come back to that again. That all that's in the Scriptures must be fulfilled. Now let that soak just a minute, class. See, all that's in the Scriptures has got to be fulfilled. Then if God said anything, well, there you are, it's got to be fulfilled. Or if it isn't, that's not the Word of God. Then if that isn't the Word of God, then where are we at? Let's get something that looks like God or anything we want to do. As the Bible said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, see? So you notice he said, all that God spoke must be fulfilled. Now all that you speak and all that I speak, well, he didn't say all that you speak and all that I speak. He said all that God spoke must be fulfilled. So all that anyone else speaks doesn't mean diddly squat. But this vindicated prophet said, all that God speaks must be fulfilled. Now we know that this is true, so let's just examine what things have yet to be fulfilled in this hour, because we'd like to know that. I mean, certainly we all want to know, well, what's next? You know, we know that God himself came down with a shout. We know a prophet came. We know there's been a teaching ministry under the same pillar of fire. But for starters, we must look at the chronology of this age. So in order to know what must take place in this age, let's turn to the Word of God. Now in 1 Thessalonians 4, if you'd open your Bibles, and beginning at verse 13, he says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, I know that there's some who claim to follow the message that believe that ignorance is blessed or bliss. I remember talking to a brother years ago, and he was very proud of the fact that he only had a high school education, and that he was very proud of the fact that Brother Branham only had an eighth grade education. But the fact of it remains, education for education's sake is worthless. But if you have a goal in mind, it's an open door for you. But notice, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So those that are sorrowing are those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, or the parousia of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, he's telling us, look, I'm just giving you some things that should bring comfort to you. Now, we could examine these five verses and run them into a mini-series, and we might just do that. But for starters, let's look at the main theme here. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with three things, or three things will happen when he descends. Number one is a shout. Number two is a voice, and number three is a trumpet. So we must know what are those shouts. What is the voice? What is the trumpet? So we're looking at the parousia ministry of the pillar of fire, God's own presence doing three things. And we could take a mini-series on that too, but we haven't the time for it right now. So we must look at these three things that Paul says will occur. First of all, we have the shout. Now, what is the shout? Well, the Greek word kalousma means that the Lord comes down with a military command. What does he do? He says, stay in line. Now, this shout is the message. That's what Brother Rand taught us in his rapture sermon. He said the shout is a message. That's what he said. Now, from the rapture, paragraph 75, Brother Brown said, a shout. And what is a shout? It's a message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He never changes. He's the unchanging God. And in Amos 3 and 7, he said, he would do nothing on the earth until he first revealed it to his servant, the prophets. And just as certain as he promised it, he will do it. All right. So we see then that the shout is a message. And it must come through a prophet, not just any prophet, but a vindicated prophet of God. And then we must know what that message is supposed to do. Because God just doesn't give us a message for the fun of it. From the rapture, paragraph 93, Brother Ram says, therefore the message calls the bride together. From paragraph 82, he says, he ordained these things to be, and he must send this. The first thing come, when he starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message comes forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. Now watch. Now what's a lamp, anyway? What is the lamp? He says, rise and trim your lamp. What's the lamp? Anybody? The lamp. Okay, it's a light. What is it? It's Psalm, I believe it's 116 or 110:16. It says the word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. So the lamp trimming time is word trimming time. In other words, when God comes down from the heavens, stands before groups of men, declares himself as ever he did, there should be something in us that says, hey, there's got to be in the scriptures. There's got to be something in this word of God. There's got to be something that tells me what I'm seeing is right here someplace. So it's lamp trimming time. It's time to get your Bible out. Time to start studying the word of God. Time to find out what is going on in this hour. So a message comes forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. Now watch. Was that? He said, the seventh, not the sixth, the seventh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found out they didn't have enough oil in their lamps. See? But it's lamp trimming time. In Malachi 4, time when you come, it's Luke 17, it's Isaiah, all those prophecies that can perfectly set in order for this day in the scripture. We see it living right there. Amen. Now, notice from uniting time and sign, Brother Ramsey, the church has to unite itself out yonder, for in the nations out there, for the World Council of Churches, and the bride has to unite itself under the word of God. In order to do that, God has sent down the heavenly sign and the things that prove to the church that the hour is. So, notice then, he says, the message is to gather the bride together. Well, at the same time, then, there's got to be another gathering, and that's to the World Council of Churches. That's to false religion, you see? Okay, so we see that the shout is to assemble the people together. Now, that has not happened yet. It's not. I shouldn't say it hasn't started yet. I didn't say that. I said it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. They're not together. Okay, so we see that this shout is to assemble the people together. Now, that has not happened yet. There is too much division in this message to say that she is assembled together. But it must be fulfilled. Because God has spoken it by the lips of his prophet. Now, I'm not saying it hasn't begun. Because the only thing that can draw us together is the doctrine. To have the mind of Christ. You see? And so God is giving his bride the mind of Christ.
Now, from the rapture, Brother Branham said, paragraph 89, see, the first thing comes forth is his message, calling the bride together. We're right there, ready now. He didn't say we're there now. He said we're ready now. The only thing the church coming out has got to lay before the sun to ripen. The great combine will come by after a while. The wheat will be burned, the stalks, but the grain will be gathered into his garner. So what he's saying is we've got to lay in the presence of this light, the sun, to ripen, to mature. Then we'll be gathered together. You see? Now notice he says, notice, you don't gather the harvest until it's all the green is baked out. You see? It's not gathered together until it's ready for harvest time. So it's laying there in the fields. The fields are ripe right now. You see? What does the scripture say? It says the labors are few. The harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. Notice he says that they are ready, right there, almost ready. But first she must lay in the presence to ripen. So here's our clue. We must lay in this word, in the presence to ripen. So the bride must lay in this word, this shout, to ripen, to mature. Now we know that he is here. And we know in the message influence, and in the third Exodus, Brother Bram said that God in the form of the pillar of fire is here leading us to the millennium. From influence, Brother Bram said, and if this, what we see and know, thousands around the world knows it, science has testified to it, everywhere, the picture is taken, it's right here now. That is true, so true, it's right here now. And if it don't bear the same kind of life that it did when it was in the person, Christ Jesus, if it doesn't do the same thing in his church, then it's wrong. Now he's talking about the pillar of fire. But if it bears the same life, it's got to be the same pillar of fire that led Israel. It's leading us to the promised land. So that life in you, which is in tune with the pillar of fire's presence here, is leading us to the millennium. From the third Exodus, Brother Ram said, now I want you to notice this same pillar of fire is leading the people again to a promised land, the millennium, where we found under the inspiration of the sixth seal that's never been taught before, how the earth has to be purified for the millennium. The pillar of fire is leading them to the millennium. And notice the pillar of fire that led Israel from the bondage in that Exodus. The pillar of fire under the leadership of God. God was the fire. And the pillar of fire only anointed the prophet. The pillar of fire was to stand as a heavenly witness that Moses was called out. You remember Dathan and them said, we ought to start an organization. Moses takes too much upon himself. You try to say that you're the only holy one among us. All the congregation of the Lord is holy. How can you take this upon yourself? And Moses fell on his face and started weeping. God said, separate yourself from him. I'll just open up the earth and swallow him away. A type, you know. And how could Moses, and he told them that he was telling them what God had said. God vindicating it to be the truth. So you see, when God brought that message, they fought with him. Now, many people think, well, you know, the denominations didn't fight with Brother Branham until after the seals were opened. That's hogwash. They began fighting with him in 1947, the same year the tape started being taped. When Brother Branham started bringing forth the message, they started pulling back. But today we have ministers hanging around the message, but not really a part of the message. Just like Dathan and Korah, they rise up to make themselves on the same level with the prophet of this age. What a joke. And where is their vindication? They haven't any. Oh, they say, we had a dream. Yes. And God said that you would have a dream. And he would test you by their dreams to see if you're going to chase off after their dreams or if you're going to stay with the word. That's Deuteronomy chapter 13. Paul said, if they say anything other than what has already been said, they are cursed with a curse. So chase off after your dreams, if you dare. But as for me and my house, we shall stay with, thus saith the Lord. Now, from the third Exodus, Brother Branham said, where did the pillar of fire lead them? Now, remember, Moses was not the pillar of fire. He was the anointed leader under that pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire only vindicated his message with signs and wonders. And that pillar of fire led them to the land that God promised them, where he himself would be made manifest or made flesh among them someday. Is that right? And what do? They murmured and they squirmed and everything else to show it was under the blood of an ordinary lamb. But this time, glory to God, the pillar of fire that we see among us, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium, where he will return to his people in that great millennial reign after this Exodus, where we'll live eternally with him. He always has the word of the Father, always proves it, that it's right. So we see that this descent of the pillar of fire is the presence of God among the people, and he comes with a shout, which is a message, and within the three things he does while here, we can break them down even further. Number one, he's here to gather his elect and claim his inheritance. That is what we read in the quotes from Brother Branham, that he is here to gather together the elect. And we can see that also in the following scriptures. Matthew 3:11, Matthew 13:28, Matthew 13 and 41 also. Matthew 24:31. Mark 13:27, Luke 13:17, Ephesians 1:10, and 2 Thessalonians 1:2-1. Number two, he is here to make ready a prepared people. Luke 1:17, Ephesians 1:3-6, 17-21, 1 John 3:1-3, 2 Corinthians 3:18, Colossians 3:14, 1 Corinthians 1:4-10, 1 Peter 1:10-13, and verse 23. He is here to save the elect from deception. And let me tell you, as Brother Vail said, I believe there's going to be a lot more deception in this message. And yet, hundreds of people run after those men. It shows that they don't believe the message. They're not interested in the doctrine of Christ. They're only interested, and Brother Vail said, God's going to give them a great delusion. He said, there's going to be someone come on the scene with a great gift, maybe one very close to what Brother Branham had, just to see what these people will do. And they'll run after it, and they'll leave the message for that person. You just watch. He is here to save the elect from deception. We have many scriptures, I won't get into them. He is here to save the righteous from perishing. We have many scriptures more. You can see the notes. He is here to seal in the wise virgins. Matthew 25, Ephesians 1. 1 Peter 1, she is ordained to pass the end time faith test, because faith is a revelation. There's only one faith, one revelation, and that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. These ordained to pass a test, but those who fall away from the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ, are reprobate concerning the faith, concerning the revelation of Christ. Number 6, he's here to separate the chaff from the wheat. I have many scriptures on that. Number 7, he's here to raise the dead. I have many scriptures on that. Number 8, he is here to change the living. We have many scriptures on that. Number 9, he's here to put us in the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18. A transformation is on its way. A change. Number 10, he's here to glorify his saints. And this word glory comes from the Greek word doxa, which means the opinion, the value, the judgments of God. So he's here to place his very mind in the elect, and I have just a whole bunch of scriptures on that. And number 11, he is here as judge, to judge the living and the dead. He's here in investigating judgment. The judge is present, and yet look at the people's conduct. There's two things I want you to walk away with tonight, and don't ever forget them. God is going to hold you accountable for every idle word you speak. That's one. Every idle word. And number two, for every penny that you've been given. Every penny that passes through your hand, you will be held accountable for what you do with it. If you can remember those two things, they'll save you from a real heartache down the road. Now, Brother Branham said he does three things in his descent. So we see that under the shout, we have all these events to take place, and many of them are already in the process of being completed. Now then, what's next? Well, at the end of the shout, we are to have a squeeze. The judgments are already in the earth, so they have already begun. Brother Branham picked up the stone and threw it in the air and said, judgments are now in the earth. But though they are already in the earth, they have not fully manifested themselves in their entirety. From an audio letter to Brother Vail, Brother Branham said, this earthquake here, when the I'm saying something now that I oughtn't to be saying. But like up there on the mountain the other day when we was up there, and that rock, when the air come down and started the whirlwind, little did they know that went straight on that way, north, going north, and went right there and struck. That's what caused that place. That happened, that's what caused that place that to happen in Alaska here not long ago. And there's three claps of it, and there's three things that happen. The rocks, the place, and up there against the wall, and then on into Alaska, and that ended it, because it was a judgment saying, see? And many times people don't get the, they just come and say, it's just, you just have to follow it. You have to be with it to watch the thing and to see the infallibility of it, perfect, not the man, but the work that's done. See? Now, what did Brother Branham say? Now, if you know your map, you can do this in your mind. Brother Branham threw that rock in the air. When it came down, the wind that was drawn down caused a whirlwind to start. Brother Branham said, take cover. And the brother is hidden. And all of a sudden that whirlwind became very big. And it took off the sides of the mountain. And the mountain was just blasted in pieces. And all the pieces came down. They're little triangles. And that whirlwind, then he took off toward the north. Now, I may be wrong here, but if I got my map in my mind correctly, if it took off toward the north and you drew a straight line from Arizona to Alaska, where it showed its destruction, that whirlwind had to cross Idaho. Amen? What does a whirlwind do? It takes everything in its path and draws it toward itself. You find a hurricane come this way or a tornado, and as it's going this way, it's blowing everything the same way it's going. You realize that Sarah Palin was born just a couple months before that rock was tossed in the air? And then Brother Branham said, judgments are now in the earth. Is she part of the judgments? Well, she could be, very well could be that sixth vision. We don't know. And I'm not saying that thus saith the Lord. I don't have thus saith the Lord to give you. But I'm just saying we can look at all these things and sit back and just wonder until God brings to fulfillment. But the judgments are in the earth, and they began when he threw that rock in the air. Now, who do you say this is? And notice she was born in Idaho but ended up that draft, you know, got her up there to Alaska. Well, anyway, it's kind of a thought. So who do you say this is? Brother Anderson says, stand there and see a whirlwind come out of the sky. It blowed a mountain half in two. Standing there where we was at, cut the top of the trees off and things like that, and blast the word came out and shook about three times and said, watch it go to the west coast. Went right over there and shook down Alaska, and coming right down the west coast now. Just exactly day before, I took a rock and threw it in the air and said, thus saith the Lord, the hours of your judgments will start in the earth. When did this happen? Good Friday. When's Good Friday? Well, I don't know. It was probably in either March or April of that year. When was she born? Sometime around that same time. 1964. Earthquakes and everything will be taking place, and all the west coast will be shook and so forth. Look how perfect, day by day, everything just exactly the way he said. How can we turn back, brethren? Let us keep our faith towards him. They say, who is this? We know who it is. It's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, the pillar of fire. When Moses' time, look what it did. Type the pillar of fire today. It's always. Why did they not believe Jesus to be the Word? They had the wrong interpretation and understanding. Just as Eve did, so do they now. What's he saying? He's saying the reason why they couldn't see him when he was standing there is because they had the wrong understanding of the word. So you see the importance of having the right understanding of the word. In fact, Brother Bram said you can't understand the word unless you're born again. And that is what the doctrine of Christ is all about. And the evidence that you're born again is that you will understand the doctrine. And therefore, like the wise virgin, you'll be ready to receive him when he's present. Not like the foolish virgin who were not ready, but the elect will be ready. Now, what then is next? Well, we have got to be gathered together first, and I believe that the parable of the net showed us that when the net was thrown into all the world, it was to gather together the elect from the four corners of the world to the doctrine of Christ. For Brother Brown said, Christ is the doctrine. And what net can go into all the world? Because John said the net was cast into the sea. I mean, the parable, Jesus said it. And the sea is peoples, nations, multitude, and tongues. And what net, at the time that he's setting up his kingdom, is large enough to go into peoples, nations, multitude, and tongues? There's only one net large enough. And that's the internet. Then what? Then the squeeze will come. And it's already beginning. In Deuteronomy 28, we have blessings and cursing, and the world is now under a curse for turning down Christ the Word. In Deuteronomy 28:15, we read, But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field. It doesn't matter if you're in the city or you're out in the country. The curses are coming down upon those. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thine kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Doesn't matter where you're at. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. There's no immunity. You see? The immune systems don't work. And thou shalt grope at the noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Look at all the indebtedness. Doctors and lawyers and professional people who make hundreds of thousands of dollars and yet they can't meet their bills. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no more shall save thee. Congress can't stop the forces of God. What is happening now is because this nation and the world is cursed. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Why? Because they can't afford them. And the foreclosure rate is at an all-time high. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Why? Because it's mad cow. Or it's hoof and mouth disease. You see the fulfillment in every country in the nation, all the nations where these things are happening. Other nations shall rise above thee. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. Look at all the foreigners that are running the companies today. 40% of the companies in the United States are French owned. 40%. I don't know how many the Japanese own and the Germans and the British. It used to be that this country designed things and built things and led the world in manufacturing. Where's our manufacturing gone? Overseas.
south of the border.
Today we hold the property, you know, the mental properties, or what do they call it? Intellectual properties for all these things, but we build nothing here anymore, hardly. Foreign countries are doing our building for us, and we say, well, we've got a service sector. How long will that last? How long can you feed your family by serving, you know, the people that when they don't need those services anymore because they don't have the income? You see what's happening? It's a result of the curse. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. In Ohio, the number one immigration is people from India. You can hardly find a doctor anymore that's not named Gupta. Check it out. There's probably 40 or 50 of them in Ohio alone. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no more might in thine hand. Can't even win a battle. Can't win a war. Brother Bram said this country would never win another war. It hasn't won in one yet. Vietnam, a bunch of little Vietnam people with sticks and bamboo drove out the mighty American army. We thought that we could go in and just use our little technology and blow them away in Afghanistan. We're still fighting for our lives over there. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. Thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all their days. And there shall be no more might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. And what about famine? Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in. And the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but thou shalt not drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. What about economic peril? He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. And we've become a debtor nation. When Brother Branham saw the debt in his time was $40 billion, and he said it'll take 40 years to pay that off. Where are we at when this country has a $10.3 trillion indebtedness? And they want to put another $1 trillion on top of that on the backs of the people. So why do they need $700 billion to pay off mortgage, bad mortgage debt? When I looked at what they're trying to pay off, it's not just the mortgages. Congress is busted. If they don't get this thing passed, they're going to have to shut down Congress for the rest of the year. They're out of spending money. And who do they want to pay for it? You and your children. Enemies within the gate. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And this nation has had the abundance of all things, and she's not a thankful people. Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord thy God, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, famine coming up, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. I thought Laodicea was rich, blind, miserable, but don't know it. You see, they're not. They're poor, blind, and don't know it. But they think they're rich because they could borrow the money.
But it's not theirs to begin with if they got to pay it off.
Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee. And the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee neither corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thine kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trusted, throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thine own sons and daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things, secretly in siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in the gate. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in the book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Doesn't sound like a time you want to be in, but it's upon us. These things are increasing every day. Plagues. Then the Lord will make the plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and the long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of a long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And then thy life shall hang in doubt. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day, and thou shalt fear night. And thou shalt have no assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would to God it were the evening time. And in the evening time thou shalt say, would to God it were the morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Now that is a squeeze. Brother Branham said he couldn't tell the people what's coming upon the earth because it would worry them too much. But it begins with economics. And then turns to religious persecution, shutting down the churches. We all know Brother Ram predicted a squeeze upon the church, and the word squeeze suggests to press hard on or together. To compress. To exert pressures upon. To oppress with burdensome demand, to force, to exert pressure, to force one's way. And then finally, financial pressure caused by shortages or narrowing economic margins. So we see there is to be some pressures come upon the church. Whether that be through financial hardship or political pressure, only time will tell. From seed of discrepancy, Brother Bramson, notice that they're now being gathered together for the burning. Did you notice Jesus said, first gather them together, bundle them, and then put all the bundles in one pile and I'll burn them. There's a little bundle called the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, they're all gathering together into the World Council of Churches. What is it? Gathering them first, hallelujah, Did you notice he gathers the tares first, gets them away from the wheat, separates them, gathers together, and then burns them? They're all to be burned with the judgments of God for sowing discrepancy amongst the people, things that they, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, denying the word, just to hold up some religious rites of some dogma that somebody injected into it, trying to put it in the word of God. It won't work. It's discrepancy. From Uniting Time and Sign, he said the Jews united themselves against Jesus as their Messiah. Therefore, we see what happened. We see the same thing now. Communism uniting to destroy the church after the church has united in the World Council of Churches and trying to destroy the message, the Word of God. They try to get rid of it. The only thing that they can do is draw themselves a council because that they are separated. A little group here, the Methodist, Baptist, Lutherans, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, and so forth like that. They can't do nothing. Because this one will be against this one. This one will be against this one, the other one. Their doctrine is just as much different from East as West. See, they can't do it. But once together, under one big head, then they got it. Then they got it. From Broken Cisterns, he said, and it's a strange thing that this United States appears on the scene. It's like a lamb. And a lamb has two horns, civil and ecclesiastical rights. And after a while, when that was a lamb, we found out that it spoke then like a dragon and exercised all the power the dragon had before it. And the Bible said that they said, let us make an image under the beast. An image is something like something else. And we can see it right now that in its apostate condition, the church is forming the World Council of Churches, which is the image to the power of Rome, and will force upon the people the same thing that pagan or papal Rome did. So there's no way around it. No other thing, but that is the truth. And that's why I'm striking it in my age, in my time, is because it's got to be struck at. The call came to come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. And from the sign of his coming, he said, the council of churches uniting themselves together, what are they doing? They're fulfilling Revelation 13. And they made an image unto the beast. From the super sign, Brother Ram said, let me make a prediction. I'm not prophesying, I'm predicting. I predict that in the next few years that all organization religions will be forced to take a stand. And they will have a union of churches, and a great boycott will follow this union of churches. All denominations will be forced into it, all of them. If they don't, there'll be a horrible boycott. Nearly every one of them today has not knowingly joined the World Council of Churches selling their birthright. Protestant brethren with the Mother Catholic of Rome, they'll do that. You know the Bible said that the tares would be bundled first. They're bundling all in one great group. The Bible said that they made an image under the beast. I believe it's come to pass that shortly, that if the people do not join some organization, some church, go in, their doors will be closed. Now, let me just say this. How many in here believe that the natural types the spiritual? You believe what Brother Branham said about that? Well, if the spiritual food is boycotted and you can't get it in those denominations, then won't God allow that same thing to happen in reverse? Because he's allowing it. You won't be able to get natural food unless you belong to those organizations. So you better start right now thinking about it. Brother Vail's going to talk about that Sunday if he gets a chance. From what shall I do with Jesus? He said, now, he's tried today or just has been tried and on trial for a world system to be formed of what's called the Council of Churches, to form in the World Council of Churches now. And what have they done? They have voted that they will absolutely unite themselves together and have a Council of Churches. And in this Council of Churches, all that churches must belong to this council. And if they don't, you're not even allowed to preach. You're not even allowed to have a prayer for the sick. And your church could be used for anything they want to use it for. If they want to store boxes in it or ammunition or whatever they want to do, you have no control of it at all. You either belong to the Council of Churches or you don't belong at all. And that's the system. That's being formed here in the United States that fulfills the scripture to the dot. It fulfills what the Lord spoke to me in 1933. See, and we're standing at that time this morning, and Jesus Christ, the Word, is at trial today, as it was on the crucifixion. And now He's on your hands. He's on the hands of the world. The Word's been clearly identified around the world, see? And He stands in and on trial. And all denominations have turned Him down now. And now He's tried as a council of the churches, and they reject Him again, and they choose rather as they did then. And from Jesus came and called. Now I'm going to say this something here. It's not a doctrine, I'm just prophesying. You know what's happened. It's going to come to a place soon, mark my word, that all denominations are going to have to join the ecumenical council. If they don't, they can't have the support of the council. Therefore, there'll be a boycott that nobody can go to these churches or go to any churches unless you have a mark on your own church. You cannot buy or sell. You see it? Just as it was, so is it going to be again. A mark under the beast, and the church shall realize, and that spiritual people, and you Pentecostal people anyhow, are recognizing it, and you begin to feel it. And when your churches, many of your organizations of the Pentecost, I don't have to call your name, but you know right now that they're coming into it. They've done witness that they were. And when they do that, what are you going to have to be? You're going to have to forfeit your evangelical teaching of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to forfeit your doctrine of the Bible. And the members is not going to stand for it. Real born-again Christians will die first. They're warned by the Word. They know this thing's coming. Yes, sir. And from the message oneness. He said, this thing of this council of churches is nothing else in the world but a stir of the foolish version to be left here on the earth for the picking for the Antichrist. The foolish version will be hunted down like dogs, Brother Ram said. But the real church of God will float like old Noah did and go on into glory just as sure as I'm standing here. That's why He's gathering them together. That's what the voice is speaking forward today. That's what God's doing, is gathering one from Los Angeles, one from Philadelphia, one from Georgia, so forth, gathering them. His people that's willing to believe the word of the living God, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, wherein the few was saved, just a very few, all right? Our Holy Ghost ark will float right above the judgments of God, because we're already judged, as we've confessed Jesus and He took our judgment. And from choosing of a bride, he said, the true church of Christ, the bride, is so sold out to Him and His promised word till the very mind that's in Christ is in you. But you young people remember that you heard a minister say that it'll finally wind up that is the mark of the beast when she forms that world council of churches and she'll give her birthright to her son, the Antichrist. Excuse me, she'll give birth to her son, the Antichrist. And from Jehovah Jireh, Brother Ram said, they heard another earthquake taking place down there. And they said it's shaking the countries again. And I thought, what is this? You know, it was done on Good Friday. You know, 1900 years ago on Good Friday, the church rejected Jesus Christ and the earth shook the world all over. And they rejected Him again in this Laodicean age, as the Bible said that they would. Had Him on the outside. And this ecumenical move of the Council of Churches is exactly what they're doing. They're forfeiting all their evangelical teachings and things. How could two walk together unless they be agreed? Well, you can't do it. That won't work with real, genuine Christians. They'll never receive it. No, sir, a born-again Christian will never go into a trap like that. It's just like putting a duck in a cage. They know he's headed for the slaughter. You'll never drive him into that. So a real born-again Christian will stay away from that. And yet Brother Vail said, this message is made up mostly of people who are going to go into that thing. They're going to be deceived. There's very few that'll stand on the doctrine. Maybe more than we think, but very few. It's the doctrine which will keep you from being rattled and running to and fro after every wind of doctrine. And slay them in the cunning craftiness by where they lie in wait to deceive. So notice he said the council of churches is driving them to flee their teaching. And if the council of message churches isn't doing the same thing, because they won't have nothing to do with the doctrine which William Branham taught, yet they claim him
to believe that he's God's prophet. In closing, Brother Rand said, from seed of discrepancy, he said, when God speaks, who can but prophesy? He predicted judgments upon that generation and said, the very God that you claim to serve will destroy you. You put this on tape and you remember the very God that these people now that's gathering all this great big harvest of the World Council of Churches, and you're going to have to go into it. You can't stay out of it. You're either going to be individually get out of it, or you're going into it. There ain't going to be no middle ground. It'll be the mark of the beast. No man could buy or sell except he has the mark of the beast or has got the discrepancy. Now stay out of it. Get out of it. Flee it. Stay away from it. The God that they claim that they're serving will destroy them. From church order, conduct order, and doctrine, Brother Ram said, remember, God is looking to me to see what I say in the Word. And I'm looking to you to see that you carry out the Word. See? You see? In this church. And keep it spiritual. For remember, all the forces of dark kingdom of Satan will be turned against you as you begin to grow in the Lord. And you must be soldiers, not just fresh recruits. You're aged soldiers now and been trained to fight. And Satan will come among you, cause you to dispute with one another if he can. Turn him down just immediately. Your brethren, and it's the enemy. And we're here to hold a standard in this evening light time, that when the world is dark and the whole church kingdom is going into the council of churches, and pretty soon they'll try to tack a sign on this door here and say, close. And then we're going to have to meet other places, because they'll certainly close these churches one of these days if we don't take the mark of the beast. And we're depending on staying true to God till death sets us free. And that's what we intend to do. And from looking away to Jesus. So now, I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said for a long time. And that is a thing that we have looked forward to for so long a time, or at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer. The third pole has now been vindicated. And I'm sure that you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be any impersonation of that, because it can't be. It cannot be. Now, it's in existence, and I am warned of this, that soon, right after this now, it's just happened, so it could identify its presence among you, see? But it will not be used in a great way until this council of churches begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything could be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifest in the fullness of his power, see? And this is the only time Brother Branham used that word squeeze. I mean, he used it like 40 some other times, but not for this same purpose. Although from end time evangelism, he said Peter had a sword. He pulled that sword, was going to cut the high priest's ear off and things like that. He did it. But when it come to real Christian courage, he didn't have it. He backed up and he denied him. Is that right? He could cut the high priest's ear off with his sword. Sure, he knew how to handle it. But when it come to the squeeze and time to stand on the word of God, he didn't have the courage and even denied that he knew Jesus. When did that take place? In the Garden of Gethsemane. When did it take place? When the word was being crucified. When the word was being scourged. When is it taking place for us? Figure it out. When the word is being put to the test. And Jesus said, when that squeeze come, time to stand on the word of God, he didn't have the courage, and he even denied he knew Jesus. That's where it is today. We got the courage to build buildings, to put millions of dollars in them. We got courage to put pipe organs and plush seats and everything and go out and proselyte from one place to the next and make the Methodists come to the Baptists and so forth, back and forth like that. But when it comes to Christian courage to accept the word and the message of God and stand there on it, we are few. So what good's your stones without a stonemason again? That's right. And from the masterpiece, he was thrown on the Isle of Patmos after being burnt in oil for 24 hours. But the word must come forth. It's got to be wrote. They couldn't boil the Holy Ghost out of him with oil. So he come forth. His work wasn't finished. He died a natural death. Polycarp, which was a disciple of John, carried the word on. And from Polycarp came Irenaeus. And Irenaeus, the great man of God, who believed the very same gospel that we believe. The word is right. The church is trying to squeeze it out. So where does the squeeze come from? It comes from the church trying to squeeze it out. Now that takes us to the shout. But there's a time when the shout blends into the voice, which is the time of the resurrection. And Lord willing, Sunday morning, we'll talk about that time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, because we just kind of rushed through it tonight. There's so many facets, so many things that are coming upon the earth. Some of them, Lord, won't take place until the time of the resurrection, but some are beginning to take place now. And we see there's an overlap time when the shout moves into the voice. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to understand these things. We recognize, Lord, that everything is coming undone, that the world is falling apart. We know that it's birth pains. And so, Father, we just pray that you'd be with us tonight. Be with us, Lord. May we every day check our heart. If we're hard-hearted to people, forgive us, Father. Help us be tender in our heart, because we know you're not coming for people that are hard-hearted. You're coming for those that have a tender spirit, that lamb nature. Help us, Lord, just to be tilled up. Help us, Lord, not to hold grudges. Help us not to hold attitude towards people. But help us, Lord, just to be yielding our spirit. Soften us, O God, where we need to be softened. Keep us strong, Father, where we need to be strong. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing number 68 again. In his presence, there's comfort. He said, comfort one another with these words. I hope the message tonight didn't scare you, because it shouldn't. But help to open your eyes, to get yourself right. Take every opportunity you have to make sure that you have peace with God and peace with your brother. If somebody pulls a deal on you, don't hold a grudge against them. God will take care of it. Leave it up to God. Don't try to settle the thing yourself. You let God take care of it. It'll be done right. It'll be dealt with right. Anything that's hidden is going to be exposed. So anything you're hiding in your heart, it's going to be exposed. It'll be shouted on the housetops. People pulling deals, they think they can get away with them. They're not going to get away with them. Everyone will find out. Exactly. And one day they're going to miss a rapture because of it. And they'll say, I thought the rapture was supposed to take place. And all's left is tribulation. All's left is to be hunted down like dogs. Make sure that you're there. Make sure your spirit is so soft and settled that at the name of Jesus, you want to weep. At the thoughts of what your older brother went through for you, you just bring you to tears. That's the condition God wants us in for the rapture. As Brother Vail said today, he said, do the people have grace enough to stand there when their young children will be put up on spears and killed and mutilated like they did in the early church age, the first church age? Do we have the grace of God in our heart? And let me say this. Is it just a mental recognition that you have of what grace is? Or has it become a reality in your heart? And I'm going to say this, if it's a reality in your heart, then your life will show grace to others as well. Because if we are to be conformed to the image of God's firstborn Son, who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said, behold, the judge standeth at the door. Grudge not one against another. that if you have a grudge in your heart, you better get rid of it. You better get rid of it. I trust we don't. Let's just sing that song, In His Presence.
In His presence there is comfort. In His presence there is peace. When we seek the Father's heart, we will find such blessed assurance in the presence of the Lord. In your presence there is comfort. In your presence find such blessed assurance in your holy presence, Lord.
Amen. Number 202, He's all that I need. We don't need a bailout. We just need the Holy Ghost.
He is all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He is all I need. He's all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need.
Let's all stand to our feet and just worship.
Hallelujah.
God bless you all. We'll see you Sunday morning.